Lady is coming to you this morning. This First Lady and pastor of this church, whom I love and am very proud of. She's going through some stuff, but you would never know it by being in her presence. Sometimes God sends you what you need and not what you ask for. Amen. And I thank God that he looked down into my heart and Brenda searched it, opened it up, and saw what I needed, and then look into my mind and see what I wanted. Amen. I want you to put your hands together and welcome the First Lady Pastor of this church, Pastor Martina Yeroga.
Good morning, Liberty Temple. Good morning, Liberty Temple. Giving honor to God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. Without them, we are nothing. God woke us up and started us on our way. So everything else is extra. Amen, amen. We don't have long, according to Pastor Gardner and Elder Therese, but we're going to let the Spirit move. Amen, amen. So, first of all, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We come to you with bowed heads and humble hearts, praising you for so many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And the first one that you did was you let us rise today. So we thank you, Father, for the blessing of life. Heavenly Father, we ask that you forgive us of every transgression, iniquity, and sin. What we thought, said, and did that was not pleasing to you, Lord, forgive us. It is grievous unto our spirit, man. So, Heavenly Father, this is the hour that we have come to study your word, to be encouraged, to be lifted up as we magnify and praise your holy name. Let the word that we learn, Heavenly Father, let it be applied to our lives so that we can continue to give you the praise as everyone sees us. They know that we are your children. These things we pray in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Before we are seated, let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 23, going to verse 25. If everyone has it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And as it reads, Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers disease and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. The title of this message is The Healing Process. You may be seated. The Healing Process. Jesus Christ came to show us the way. And even Christ Jesus rose again to still show us the way. Now, whether it was Jesus Christ, as we read here in Matthew chapter 4, or Christ Jesus, as we will discuss later on, you're either going to be healed of or healed from something or someone.
Come on now.
It's the healing process. Amen?
Amen.
So, during the time of Jesus incarnating himself in the flesh, he came about showing everyone the healing process. Remember, a lot of his healing was healing the sick, healing the lame, the blinded eye can see. This is the healing process. And we, as individuals, we get so caught up in our pain and our affliction and what we're going through, we don't understand that it's a process. The process is through all that you're going through. Keep your eye on Christ.
Amen.
Keep your eye on Christ.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, as Pastor shared with you, I have some pain. No, I don't. Take that back in Jesus' name. I have some affliction. And I have some process that I have to go through. Now, I have endured pain from a young child and affliction. And I could not see my way like many of us do. We are caught up in what we're going through that we don't know. Or we don't trust, we are not really secure in our faith. A lot of things we go through will test your faith. And the testing comes from believing and trusting that he is who he said he is, and he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So whenever I would pray, I would say, Father, heal me. And my healing, I'm asking him to heal me physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, and spiritually. Those five right there covers a multitude of what everybody is going through. Our physical healing, our mental healing, our emotional healing, our financial healing, and our spiritual healing. Those are the main things that we go through. So when we pray for things, when we're praying for, we're praying, we should be praying for that healing. Because the healing in those five areas earth's going to cover everything that we're going through. You guys understand what I'm saying? Everything that you're going through, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's emotional, whether it's financial and spiritual. If we ask for that healing, just everything is covered. Everything. Now, there are some things we need to be specific with. But when we're praying for healing, we need to cover those five areas and trust and believe that he's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. Amen? Amen. If you don't believe me, let's go look at it. I know you got pencils and paper because you know how I am. You know what I bring. Those five areas cover the multitude of every aspect of our healing process. So let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. That's a famous scripture, isn't it? And there's a lot of reasons why it's famous. But I look at it as Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So in the physical, now this passage, this scripture right here, it covers just about, just about all of that. Physical, mental, emotional, financial, and spiritual. Why? Because he said of my people, you know we are his people, called by my name. Well, we know we're called by him, we are called by his name because it says that, write this down, Romans chapter 8, 28 through 30 confirms that. You were called, you were predestined, you were chosen. Amen? Amen. So, if you would humble yourselves, let's stop being so haughty. Just because we are Christians don't mean we have to be sitting there putting everyone else down that's not walking the path. Let's have some humility as born-again believers. Let's start using that humility. And it says, and pray, that is daily. When Jesus was talking to the disciples, he said, this is how you should pray. Okay? Give us this day our daily bread. That's daily prayer, meditation daily. Amen?
Amen.
And seek my face. When you are in the Word, you are seeking his face. Why? Because you want that up close and personal relationship with him.
Amen.
That is what we are to do. We're to seek his face. We're not to be like the Israelites. Jesus came so that we can go boldly to the throne ourselves.
Amen.
We don't need mediators. We don't need priests. We don't need any of that to go before us. Seek my face. We are to seek him personally, up close and personal. That is the relationship. Amen? And turn from our wicked ways. We are still, what's the famous saying? I'm a work in progress. He's still working on me. Okay, so if he's still working on us, then we need to put the work in.
All right.
Okay? When it says he's still working on me, yes, he is, but we got to put some work in.
Amen.
Beloved, That means some things that we got to do, we got to change.
Amen.
Turn from our wicked ways. Anything that is not lined up with Christ is not of him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So after we did all of what we're supposed to do in the first half of 14, then Jesus is saying that he's going to intercede for us. He's going to go to God on our behalf. And he's going to tell God, you know what, Father? They are doing what I taught them to do. They're not being haughty. They're born again. They're not being haughty. They're studying our word daily. They're praying. They are seeking a personal relationship with me. Father, this is what they are doing. He's interceding for us. Amen? His blood did that. And I will forgive them, forgive their sin. Well, the wages of sin is death. But because we accepted Jesus Christ into our lives, we have the salvation. He's forgiven us of our wicked ways. Amen? And he will heal their land. I will heal their land. And then this one, and true enough, all of the pastors, this is a famous scripture. But what if you are land, and as Pastor said, land is your surroundings. But guess what else your land is? Your walk. Whatever I'm walking into, this is my land. This is my walk. This is your walk with Christ. Okay? This is, he will heal your land. He's healing my walk because I have humbled myself. Because I have prayed. Because daily I seek his face. And I am making my changes. I'm putting the work in of turning from my wicked ways. I'm doing this. And he is going to the Father for me. And he said, look what she's doing. Look what Tony is doing. Look what Mother Rutherford is doing. I'm going to heal their land. I'm going to heal their walk. We are all a part of the healing process. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So, go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Ha, ha, ha. Be careful for what you ask for. We're going to start. Yeah, I'm going to piggyback on what Pastor said because it holds true to us as born again believers. Amen? Amen. And is this also tying in? Remember the five things that we're praying for as far as our healing process is our physical, mental, emotional, financial, and spiritual. Amen? Amen. So James chapter 5, starting with the 14th verse, says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be what? Heal. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We've been having a whole lot of healing going on up in here. Up in here, up in here. Amen? Why? Because we are doing this eternally first. You got to work on the inside from within what you're going through. Your healing process first before you can go and lay hands on somebody else.
Right.
Okay? We cannot be saying we're going to go and pray for Sister So-and-so when we know we have some own praying for our own selves first. Amen? We are on the airplane. It always says put your mask on first. Save yourself first before you can save somebody else. This is what we are to do, beloved. We have to make sure that when we are standing in a gap praying for somebody else, that we are right within ourselves. Yeah. It starts with me first. The inner me, which is the enemy, that's not lined up with Christ, I got to get that girl right first. And I have had to tell her a thing or two this weekend. I said, you done lost your mind. Girl, we lining up and here you is want to go. I stood right there in the shower and I said, Martina, if you don't get your stuff together and stop it. Listen, that other member, the natural man that's working inside of you, he or she is no joke. And you have to be loud and authoritative with her or him and let them know that you are still a child of God. And they are not going to steal, kill, and destroy you.
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, I'm going to ask you to write this down. John 21. Verses 15 through 17. And Acts chapter 3, 1 through 10. Now we're talking about healing. Amen? So right here, these two scriptures that I just gave you, it's relating to Peter. Peter. Sure. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17, and Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10.
Thank you.
Now, no problem. Leading up to John chapter 21, though, now Peter is dealing with his denial of Christ. Because Jesus had already told him that you're going to deny me. Peter, one of the disciples. For the little people. Because I know everybody else knows. But he was dealing now. Christ, what he endured for us is nothing short of a miracle. You do know that, right? What he did for us. His last mile. But Peter, and he told Peter at the Last Supper that you were going to deny me. Peter was like, no, I'm your ride or die. I ain't going nowhere. I got you. Yet, and behold, behold, Peter still did this, what Jesus said he was going to do, deny him. So as he remembered that he was going, that what Christ had told him he was going to do, he's looking at him go through everything. The crucifixion. And I know this is weighing heavy on Peter's mind. He's like, man, I said I was going to be there, but I wasn't. Ever felt like that sometimes? You told somebody that you was going to be there for them? And You just wasn't because you was in our own mess, dealing with our own stress. And then you feel bad that if something happened and you wasn't able to get there. I'm telling you, what we going through, sometimes we have to make haste to get to someone else. Because it's not only going to help them who you are tending to, it's going to help you. Amen? Amen. So Peter is dealing with what he had already done, was denying Christ. Not once, not twice, but three times. So when Christ rises and he's in his glory and he's showing proof to everyone of what he said he was going to do, Peter still is not, it's still wearing on him. Still wearing on him of what he had done mentally. This is mental. Okay? And so Christ coming to sit and have another last dinner with them in John chapter 21. This is the last supper he has with his disciples before the ascension. And he's telling them, he told Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "Yeah, I love you." And Christ asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter like, "Why are you asking me this? This is really hurting me, Christ. This is really hurting me. You asked me if I love you, and I do. I do. I'm sorry. I doubt it. I'm sorry. I wasn't there. I'm sorry. But I do. I'm here now." And he tells him, "If you love me, feed my sheep." Christ is telling you, if you love me, feed my sheep. That means continue to be an example. Be an example to those who are wavering on the fence, who don't know if they should give their lives to Christ. Feed them, not with just a word, but in your actions. Feed them the word of God through your actions. That's your life. Amen? Amen. And so moving to Acts 3:10, see, Peter gets it. He's gotten it now. We had the day of Pentecost, and he got up and told and explained to everyone about the Holy Spirit. He's got it now. And he's moving on with vigor. He's been mentally healed. And so because of his mental healing, he was able to go out and heal. And Acts 3:10 talks about the man at the beautiful gate who is begging. But that's what he does. And he tells him, he said, "I don't have silver and gold, but what I have is so much better. So much better than silver and gold. What I have is Christ Jesus." Now let me tell you about Christ Jesus. And after he told about Christ Jesus, he says, "Now you go and be healed." He had enough faith and belief that the Christ that's in him would be able to heal that gentleman at the gate. And he got up and he walked. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. See, when we need to be healed mentally, sometimes, you know, that really takes more of effect than the physical, because it's a mindset. Not are you arguing, tussling, fighting physically, that mindset. Why? Because you're wrestling with the old nature, you're wrestling with the natural man and the spirit man. And they are wavering back and forth for your soul. And so that's rough. Because first thing we think is, "Lord, why me? Why not you? Why not you? You're a born again believer. As I remember what Pastor Hart used to say, that's victory. How can you ask me if I got the victory when I'm going through stuff in my mind? You're warring here. I want to do wrong. I want to do right. I'm doing wrong. Paul gives a prime example in Romans chapter 7. That mental battle. But then he heals him. Christ heals Paul in the same instance and says, my grace is sufficient. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. We have to remember that all of this is the healing process. All of this is the healing process. And I asked the Lord, Lord, why me? Why this keep happening to me? And that's when I just told you, why not you? Because that's what he said to me. Well, why not you? I said, well, because I don't deserve it. He said, but if not you, then who? Who's going to be able to share what you have gone through if it's not you? Who are you going to be able to tell, Brother Little John, what you have gone through, your healing process, if it's not you? Can't nobody speak better than you, can you, for you? That's right. The only one that speaks better for us is Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, now, I want you to write this scripture down. Genesis chapters. And you know when I give you stuff, go home and share that and read it and get it in your system and confirm. Amen? Genesis chapters 45 through 47. Boy, you're talking about healing. Healing physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, and spiritually. This is what Joseph had to endure. Joseph was taken back when he saw his brothers who came to Egypt, because where they were in Canaan was the famine. And they was in so much distress, they didn't even know their own brother. How many times are we going through as much as we're going through that we don't even recognize the very person of Christ that's standing there to bless us?
Amen.
We get so caught up in what we're going through, we don't even see our blessing.
Amen.
And that's what Joseph was able to give to his brothers and to his father. Because of what they was going through, they couldn't see their blessing. But guess what Joseph did? Joseph was able to help his brothers and to help his father. And because he was able to do that, Joseph was healed.
Amen.
He was healed. See, he could have been salty. What he went through, he should have been salty. But that's the difference between those work in progress, he's still working on me, and those that are part of the healing process. When you're going through the healing process, you are going to help someone heal, and that's going to give you your healing. Amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Amen.
Sometimes I get tongue-tied. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. So that's how Joseph was able to be healed. By healing. Understand something, beloved. When you are going through, there's always somebody going through much worse than you. And we have to remember that. We're not as bad off as we think we are. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, Channel Channel 247 definitely shared that this week with us, right? Amen. And it's a lot of healing that needs to be going on. Yeah. Not just for the things that's lost, the material, yeah, but the physical, the mental, the emotional, and spiritual. We have to continually pray, as well as financial. We have to continually pray for that healing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'll write the scriptures down. Matthew chapter 6. One of my first scriptures that helped me get back on my path. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. You know what worrying does? It hinders us. I've always, and I used to say this growing up, if you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray. Can't do both. And someone shared with me, Mom, it's easier said than done. I agree. But Philippians 3:14 says, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So that means he's going to strengthen me in my prayer life. And he's going to strengthen me so that I don't worry so much about what I'm going through. A lot of times we worrying about things that Christ has already taken care of. Do you understand that? We are worrying about things that we have no control over. Now, mind you, there are some things that we do have control over, and we need to get a handle on that. Amen? Amen, amen, Martina? Yes, amen. Amen. Worrying hinders our praise. It hinders our worship. It hinders our faith. It hinders our walk. We cannot continually sit back and try to figure out and worry. Because, and now I told you to write those scriptures down, right? So let's go to the main one. 6 and 33. That's the main one. Because it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things, all, everything up there from 25 on up, probably from 6:1 on up, on down, up, down, up, down. But if you seek Christ first and trust and believe, I was like, Lord, why am I having all these bad relationships? Because I didn't have any patience. No patience. I instill that in my boyfriend so much now. Because I had to go through it. I had no patience. And because I didn't have no patience, I did things my way. Now, don't misunderstand. Being a born-again believer is a work in progress. Because once you are born again, there is much more that you need to do now. You are required. You are responsible. It is your duty, it is your job to put Christ first in any and every aspect of your life. And while putting him first, you have to put this word into action. How do you think there's application? If you are not studying the word of God, you are not applying it to your life. So we can't always rely on those prayer warriors and the men and women of God to pray for us, lay hand on us, and intercede for us. You know, there are some times that we need interceding for too. You have to know him for yourself. Because when the day comes, when we all will be judged, because we are born again believers, we're going to be judged first. And he's going to ask you, did you show yourself approved? And that's just going to be that simple. And if anyone asks us, what do you mean, Lord? He's going to say, go away from me. I don't even know who you are. And that's all I got to say about that. I love Forrest Gump. So we have to stop worrying and increase our prayer. Decrease worrying, increase our prayer life. By us doing that, we will increase our worship and our praise for Christ. And guess what? He'll be able to use us. He'll be able to use us more. Use us, use us, use us. Amen? Amen. We are all walking, living testimonies. Yeah. Our trials, our tribulations, our afflictions, our pain, our suffering. They are all for our testimony about how we made it. And who we made it through. Amen? Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, as far as our healing, there is, and we talked about all of the five aspects. Write the scripture down. Malachi 3:10. And 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. Now, this speaks about our financial giving. We have to be obedient in that. And we have to pray for healing in that. Because in Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 3, You know, God is, he's sick of y'all robbing him. Stop robbing me. He said, bring all the meat in my storehouse that there might be meat in my house. So you know if he got it, you got it. Think about it in that terms. If Christ has everything and you are in Christ, don't you have everything too? Amen. So, when you are robbing Christ, guess what you're doing? Robbing yourself. Yay! Amen! That's what we're doing. Now, I remember when I caught myself robbing, stealing, taking that was not mine. I did that as a child. And I thought I had learned my lesson until I did it as an adult. Because, let me tell you how I was doing it as an adult. I was coming to church, and I was praising the Lord, and I was serving on the ministry, a couple of ministries, and I figured as though I was tithing. Now, trust and believe, that is a form of tithing. Okay? Serving is a form of tithing. But also, finances is a form of tithing. Because I learned that it was my duty and my obligation to keep the church where I come to worship, where I come to praise, where I come to interact with all of my brothers and sisters in Christ, I had to do my part to make sure that the church was able still there for me to come in fellowship with. If I am not doing my part, if I'm just coming up here ushering and not giving of the finances that he has blessed me with in the last week or the last 2 weeks or the last month, however we get paid, I am not doing my part. I am robbing myself. Because you know why? If there is no church for me to go and fellowship in, then that means we are scattered. We're scattered about. And we need to come together to encourage one another. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Why? That's because that is what we're supposed to do. We have to be obedient and we have to give our tithes. Amen. And offerings. Amen. And then go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, we want Christ to do things for us. You know, we want to be healed. We want. We have to do too. That's not right. That is not right. We have to stop being so needy. Lord, can you? Instead of saying, Lord, send me, I'll go. Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Amen? And don't get me wrong, I am the first one that had to learn that I can't always ask the Lord for something. Although he said come to him, okay, but sometimes he just want to come and just to sup with you. Let's just have a conversation about your day, you know, about somebody who tried to take you there. Let's have that conversation. Let's not always have our conversation about, Lord, can you? Lord, will you? I mean, if we ask the Lord how he doing, we know he's doing great. So, I mean, that's rhetorical. But just to have a conversation with him, to sup with him. Amen? Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. In other words, don't give grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. So if we're doing this, everything.
You started off on 2 Corinthians
9, chapter 9. I started at verse 6.
Okay.
Yes, started at verse 6. So if you give a little bit, you're going to get a little bit back. If you give much, you'll get much back. Now, don't get me wrong, and it's not always about finances. He's going to bless you in other areas that you need to be blessed in because he knows these things.
Right.
He's going to heal you in other areas where you need to be healed at. Amen?
Amen.
If I'm going to heal you with finances, then I expect to be healed in my mental psyche. Amen? I'm battling some stuff in my head. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So, and what he's saying is his grace is sufficient. He got you. The Lord got you. You ain't got to worry about nothing at all. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So write these scriptures down. Acts 9:15 and 16, and Acts 18 and 19. Now we are talking about the healing process. And Acts chapter 9, 15, 16 is now we are into Saul's conversion to Paul. And Christ has told Ananias to go and get Paul because he done blinded him on the road to Damascus. Because he was on his way to persecute some more Christians. And Paul has been converted. Paul has been blinded. And Christ told Ananias to go get Paul because he got work to do. He's going to know what it's like to suffer. Remember how much Christ suffered? Well, Paul going to suffer too. But here is the consolation of what Paul is going through. Turn to, and I want you to turn to Acts 18. I think I wrote the wrong script. And I did. But that's okay. Because in Acts 18... Paul is going about, but Christ comes to Jesus and tells Paul to do not fear, for I'm with you. For if I send you somewhere, don't worry, no harm is going to come upon you, because my spirit is upon you. So whenever you feel as though you're going to be harmed, if there's danger coming upon you, long as you're doing Christ's work, as long as you're doing his work, he is going to keep a hedge of protection around you. Amen. 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 Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And I'm going to tell you why. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 verse 17. Excuse me. Verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Whenever we're going through, sometimes, you know, we are good on Sunday mornings. But if something is messing with us, I don't know, you better check it on Monday. And what Christ is saying here is, he's the same as yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen? He can't change. So every gift, good and perfect, that means the good, the bad, and the ugly. Guess what? Don't change. Don't change. I'm going through. Boy, am I going through. But that's okay, because I know whose hands I'm in. I know who holds me. I know who's going to take care of me. They say, well, why aren't you in pain? I have to have surgery, major surgery. And I have some things that has to be removed. Some things you don't use some more, and then some things that come up and you don't even know where they come from. But I am so, so, so blessed. I'm so blessed. Because I know that I know that I know that I know that he is taking care of me. And he says, people ask me, you're not in any pain? I'm not. I'm really not in any pain. But it came to me. Now let me share this with you. But because I was studying my word and meditating on him and listening to the Holy Ghost, I'm in tune with myself, my body, in the physical. So I found something physical that wasn't supposed to be there. And because I was in pain, I did not act on it at the time. And since I did not act on it at the time, it has manifested. It has grown. But I'm still not in any pain. And because I am in tune with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I don't have any pain. Now, not to say there are not some people who have pain. And trust me, I know what it's like to be in pain. Because my knee is still hurting. That's not the pain that we're going to operate on. But that's it. See how God showed it to me? This knee hurts. But that's arthritis. That's wear and tear. But the mass, there is no pain from the mass. But I'm blessed because me being in tune with Christ, being in tune with my body, being in tune with the physicians. Some things, people, beloved, we don't have to put off. And I'm here just to testify to that. Just because you're not in any pain, don't mean that it has to stick around. So stay in tune. Stay in tune to Christ and in tune into yourself. Our sister, she was in tune. She was having a heart attack. And she said it didn't feel like heartburn, but that was being in tune. And her husband took her to the hospital right in time to catch it, because she would have been part of that widow-making heart attack and wouldn't be here. Stay in tune. We are all a part of the healing process. We all are. Remember what I said earlier, if you're not being healed of something, you're being healed from something. Christ, I need to be healed from myself. I need to be delivered. And that's the healing process. We are all a part of the healing process. Someone around you are trying to figure out how are they going to be healed. You share that with them. It's a process. And you help them in their healing. And you help them in the process. And I guarantee you, just like Joseph, you're going to be healed as well. Amen. Give the hand clap of praise. A lot of people say, if anybody really get text from me, first thing I say in the morning is, good morning, sunshine. How are you today? Awesome. Because he woke me up this morning. Everything else is extra. I got another chance to do it all over again. When you give in the love, that's healing. I got to heal myself first before I can go and heal anybody else. So that's what I have to give to myself. And that's what I give to others. Because I want you to be healed in the name of Jesus. Not just physically, but mentally, spiritually, emotionally, financially. Amen? Amen. And let me tell you why you're going through what you're going through and why you're going to continue to go through what you're going through. Because that's the way destination is. 1 Peter chapter 5. Mm-hmm. Starting with verse 6 through 10. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And we're not talking about the one that got cast out of heaven. We're talking about that old nature. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother that are in the world. So we're not going through this by ourselves. We're not by ourselves, guys. We're not in this alone. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, he will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So no, this is just the healing process that we're all going through. And we all need to be a part of the healing process. Whether we are healing someone or whether we're being healed. Amen. Amen. So Sister Paulette, as you're being healed, heal me as you're being healed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mother Lucille, heal me as you being healed. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Lorraine, heal me as you being healed. Remember, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, financially, Pastor, heal me as you're being healed. The Word of God is a healer. So while you're healing, remember, you need to stay in this Word. Because if you're not in this Word, you can't heal me, because I'm in the Word. Remember that. Stay in the Word. It is a healer. Pastor say, are you sure you're okay? Yes! I am great! I am awesome! Because I am in Christ and Christ is in me. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Everyone on your feet. Let's all be a part of the healing process.
Think it not strange the fiery trials that you are going through. For surely I am the Lord thy God. That which is in your body, that which is in your mind, that which is in your spirit, knoweth that I am the healer and the deliverer of all things. That which I began in Genesis, I am even doing right now. So therefore, my children, remember and remind yourself that which you have need of, I am the meter of. All you've got to do is lift up your hands and praise and worship me. Remind yourself that look up to where your help coming from, realizing that your help coming from the Lord. And then stand still and see the salvation of my power. And you shall know without a doubt that I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Many think that I stopped healing, but I'm still healing. Many think that I have stopped delivering, but I'm still delivering.
Yes.
Many think that I have stopped making a way, but I'm still making a way.
Yes.
Many think that I have stopped answering prayer, but I'm in the midst of your prayer.
Yes.
Therefore, my children, glorify me with all of your mind, all your heart, all your spirit, all your soul, all your physical being, in spite of the circumstances and the situations that you are standing in and that you are going through. And know that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And be this sure, be assured of this one thing, without any doubt, that I am the Lord God. And if you don't have enough faith for yourself, I got enough faith for you, because I am the faithful one, saith God. Father, we thank you right now, Lord God, that you are a healer. We thank you, Lord God, that you have all things covered, Lord God. It was planned out in the beginning, Lord God. You knew that you would have to come to heal your people and make a way where there was no way, Lord God. You are that way. You are the way through the shadows of life. You are that way through even death, Lord God. And you have brought us out, Lord God, and have placed us within you, Lord God. Therefore, we are victorious in spite of the sufferings that we go through. We are victorious, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I ask you to touch every mind and every heart, Lord God, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord God. The word that you have given your servant, Lord God, let it remind us, Lord God, that you are healing us, Lord God. You are keeping us, Lord God. You are establishing us, Lord God. Lord God, you have given us a foundation to stand upon, and you are that foundation, Lord God. You are that sure foundation, Lord God, that where we can walk along smoothly, Lord God, without stumbling, Lord God, knowing, Lord God, that you keep our steps. Our steps are ordered by you, Lord God. You have ordered them from the beginning, Lord God, and we walk in them, Lord God, hand in hand with you, Lord God. Lord God, as you lead us into victory, we thank you for it. We thank you for touching us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet and making a way, Lord God, of victory in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah! God is great and greatly to be praised. I want to thank each and every one of you for allowing me to love on you. Thank you. I enjoy hugging, kissing, praying with you and for you. And I want to tell you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for allowing me to do on a daily basis. I enjoy giving love. And I just want to say thank you. Allowing me to love on you. We don't know what tomorrow brings. Nobody is promised tomorrow. But you know this, that on this day, that you have someone that loves you and don't mind showing. Don't mind giving it to. And as pastors say, not that we ready to go tomorrow. But I can stand before him and tell him that I genuinely love the way that he genuinely loves me. And that's what he wants us to do, beloved, is to love on each other unconditionally, no matter what. Because somebody that you're going through, somebody that you come in contact with, is really, really hurting. So let's remember why we are called, why we are chosen, and who we are and whose we are. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.